Today's parents have better ways to save for their kids' college than existed a generation ago. So are you making the most of your college savings program? Hi, I'm Rob West. It's been less than 30 years since Congress authorized the tax-advantaged 529 plans. More options soon followed. Mark Biller joins us today with the pros and cons of several college savings programs. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. Call right now, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest, Mark Biller, is the executive editor at Sound Mind Investing and underwriter of this program. Mark and his team have waded through the fine print of the available programs for college savings, so you don't have to. Mark, great to have you with us today. Mark, do we have you today? All right, we'll see if we can work on that. We're going to be talking about college savings today, and it's getting more and more expensive. I just saw recently that we have the first four colleges with price tags. This is all in room and board, tuition, fees, and books. Price tags now over $90,000. Just four of them. They're expecting that by 2026, we will see the first few colleges with, this is annual tuition and fees and expenses, annual cost of attendance eclipsing $100,000 a year. And so we know it's getting more expensive all the time. It's vitally important that you are a saver, saving for college, putting aside funds so you have something to hopefully offset the cost of college in part. Now, there are other ways to pay for college beyond just savings. And my family is a great example of that. Not only my kids, my first is now in college, and he was able to get in with lots of AP credits, which means less hours had to be taken during his college experience, less credit hours. That means less money. He took 15 AP credits in high school, working during the summer, perhaps an on-campus job. I was a resident assistant when I was in college, had my room and board covered. You know, there are ways to pay for college. My wife grew up in a single parent home, and her mom made it clear, if you're going to college, you're going to have to pay for it. And so she knew early that she was going to have to apply for every scholarship under the sun. She was able to secure over $150,000 in scholarships throughout her journey preparing for college, obviously completely paid for. So there are ways to do this, but saving is obviously key, and we're going to explore some of those today. And I understand we have Mark Biller with us today. Mark, good morning, sir.
Hey, Rob. Good to be with you.
And you as well. I was talking about how expensive college is getting more and more all the time. So saving is important. Starting early is obviously the name of the game with compounding. So before our first break here, why don't you give us an overview of the current landscape and what today's parents should expect?
Yeah, absolutely. So everybody's familiar with a nasty bout of general inflation we've had over the last 3 or 4 years. What a lot of people don't know is the cost of higher education has been rising at 2 to 3 times the general rate of inflation over the last few decades.
Wow.
And that's a big part of the reason why student debt has become so much more common than it used to be. So a little over half of today's new college grads graduate with an education loan, and the average size of those debts that these new grads are taking into the real world has nearly doubled over the last 15 years. So one of the things we do in this article we'll be discussing today, Rob, is we have a calculator that estimates what roughly 70% of the average in-state public college cost will be at different time intervals in the future. This gives parents and grandparents an idea of what a savings target realistically would look like, say 10 years out, 14 years out. And the numbers can be a little jarring, frankly. You know, let's say that you have 14 years before your child heads off to college. Well, 70% of that 4-year cost in 14 years is going to run just about $150,000. Now, the good news in that is that if you start saving early, of course, the monthly amount that you need to save to hit even those lofty targets is a lot lower than if you wait and start later. So if you've got 14 years to save, a parent would need to save about $520 a month, whereas if you wait until your child is 10 years old to start saving, that monthly savings amount is going to be about twice as much. Mm. Now, of course, not every parent is going to be able to save 100% of that, but the point is you want to start early. You want to have an all-hands-on-deck mentality.
That's
really
right. Well,
that time is your friend.
We're going to take a break. Back with more after this.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Every child gets scolded for something. I was. I'm sure you were, too. Was it unloving? At the time, it might have felt that way. It takes time and maturity to realize that discipline is loving and has a purpose for our good. It's the same way with the Lord. God disciplines His children not to be mean, but because He cares. Romans 2:4 says, "Do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" Don't think of God's discipline as anything other than a sign of His love and kindness that leads you to repentance. Don't turn away. Instead, run to Him. You'll grow in your walk with Christ with daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at afr.net.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, my good friend Mark Biller. Mark's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can learn more at soundmindinvesting.org. While you're there, check out this article we're talking about today, Making the Most of Your College Savings Program. Again, that's soundmindinvesting.org. While Mark is here today, we're taking your calls and questions on college savings. Perhaps you want to dig deeper into one of these plans, or you just have general investing-related questions. Obviously, a big week in the markets this week. With the near certain reduction of interest rates for the first time in 4 years, the Fed expected to lower interest rates about a quarter of a point, at least what economists are expecting. We can talk about the markets and the economy as well. If you have questions for Mark Biller, call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Mark, before the break, we were talking about just this incredible rise of the cost of college. And I know you all have some helpful tools for folks to estimate what they might need to have set aside for their kids' college in this article. But it's important to get the kids involved in the process too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the goal is we're trying to minimize their student loan debt.
Yeah.
And the earlier that they understand that whatever isn't covered is ultimately going to be their debt. So let them know that early on, and then also let them know how they can contribute toward that cost. There are lots of ways. They can contribute their own savings from summer jobs. Of course, scholarships, as you were saying, is a huge one, financial aid they might qualify for, and so on. And of course, the earlier you and they get started, the better. And so we think it's a great idea to start a college fund for each child. And then as the years go by, have your kids contribute to that as they get money for birthdays and holidays. They earn money working and so forth. And there's really a dual goal being achieved here, Rob, right? You know, we're trying to reduce or avoid the college debt, of course, but also at the same time, we're training the kid that disciplined savings is the best approach to meet future financial goals.
Yeah. Mark, you mentioned communicating with the kids and perhaps doing that early. You know, someone encouraged me when my kids were young to, when the appropriate time came, tell the kids, listen, here's the percent of the college tuition we're expecting you to pay, or here's the dollar amount we're going to have for you. Now, you're welcome to go out on the web, and it's very easy to find the cost of attendance for any school in the country, and go ahead and do that research so you know how short you're going to be depending upon where you want to go. Do you subscribe to that idea?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. You know, of course, I think there's room for some flexibility in there, but it's better to set that expectation and then maybe make an allowance later on as you see, okay, has this kid turned into a really responsible, you know, 18-year-old, and is the best opportunity a little bit different than what we've been communicating? Really easy to make adjustments in that direction, way better than the other extreme, which is you haven't communicated anything, and they have their expectations set in the clouds, and then you come in at the last minute and say, well, actually, we can only afford, you know, XYZ. So yeah. I think it's probably impossible to over-communicate your intentions early on and set those expectations and really get their buy-in as early as possible.
Yeah, I think that's well said. All right, we're talking about this article at soundmindinvesting.org, Making the Most of Your College Savings Program. Mark, what programs have you all identified as the best for college savings these days?
Yeah, there are three of them where we'll spend most of our time. I think it's worth really quickly noting that there are some programs that have been really popular in the past, say when I was saving for my own college, and we're not going to spend time on those, but I do want to mention them because some people still think these are good ways to go. Those include EE savings bonds, custodial accounts under the Unified Gifts to Minors Act, and prepaid college plans. Those used to be good tools. We don't really think those are the best tools anymore. There are better ones. Today, the three best tools are Coverdell Education Savings Accounts, Section 529 College Savings Plans, and surprisingly, we think Roth IRAs belong in that mix. We like all three because of the strong tax advantages. They do have varying degrees of flexibility, and we'll get into that. But, of course, each of those has some unique pros and cons as well.
Yeah, we'll unpack these while Mark Biller is here today. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. By the way, if you have a question for Mark Biller today or a comment related to college, saving for college, or the markets and the economy, you can call right now, 800-525-7000. Monty's in Virginia. Monty, I understand you have an experience in this area. Share what happened with you.
Well, just I'll try to be very brief because I tend to talk too long, but the schools, for example, when you go to a private high school, 9 through 12, there are schools like an elite here in Virginia in Madison County called Woodbury Forest. They charge at least $67,000 a year, and it's only about 400 students. Just to briefly tell you this, my children, because of my disability and being a veteran, my wife with our 8 children qualified them for about $1.25 million to go to these expensive elite schools that are not elite. It's like the you know, the professors are getting paid like these professional athletes. They either are not very good, but they get these ridiculous amounts of money, and they don't even teach what the discipline is. You know, they keep saying these woke universities, but Ivy League schools, can you imagine that y'all were talking $90,000? What in the world is room and board. I even worked at a little school, Gardner Webb, like you were talking, and paid much of my way because I didn't want my parents with the burden.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's well said. Thank you for your service to our country, Monty. And I think he brings up a great point, Mark, and that is that not only are there just general scholarships out there that every student should apply for, but there are some very specific scholarships and grants depending upon your background, your ethnicity, your area of focus that you're looking to study, and a whole host of others, right?
Yeah, there really are. And of course, you know, these days you've got all that at your fingertips anytime you can get on the internet. So a lot of it really is kind of elbow grease and finding the sources where they detail a lot of these less publicized scholarships. A lot of institutions have their own stuff too. So there's kind of the general pool that's available to everybody, and then the specific institution likely has some scholarships and different opportunities and financial aid as well.
Yeah.
So there's kind of a learning curve there, but it's well worth the time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Mark, obviously with any of these plans, and just after the break here, we'll begin to unpack each of them. But like with any investing, it's all about compounding. The earlier you start, the better, because even just a nominal automatic transfer, every month of $100 or $200 is going to add up if we're talking about 10, 15 years of savings, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, trying to recruit, you know, grandparents into the pool and get everybody all hands on deck. There are ways to set up credit card rewards to go directly into these programs, these savings programs. So there are a lot of different paths of attack to try to whittle that down as much as possible.
Very good. Mark Biller here today. We're talking about college savings for this portion of the broadcast. If you have a question on college savings or any market-related or economic-related topic, just call right now, 800-525-7000. The name of the article we're discussing today is Making the Most of Your College Savings Program. You can read all the details at soundmindinvesting.org. When we come back, the Coverdell, the Section 529 College Savings Plan, and a Roth IRA. Who thought? We'll be right back.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions on college savings for this portion of the broadcast. We'll also be happy to cover investing-related topics. Mark Biller's here today. Mark's our good friend and investing expert. He's executive editor at soundmindinvesting.org. Mark, before we head back to the phones, let's start with the first savings plan you mentioned, and that is the Coverdell Education Savings Account. I guess formerly that's the old Education IRA, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And with both the Coverdell and the 529 plans, these are specifically designed for college savers. They let you invest for college and then take all of the money, including the earnings, out tax-free as long as you're using it for qualified education expenses. With the Coverdell ESA specifically, they're a compelling option for parents who have income under the limits that allow them to make contributions. And that income limit is about $190,000 for a couple married filing jointly. Now, above that level, you're not allowed to contribute to a Coverdell. So that's kind of the first hang-up with Coverdells for some people. The main thing that we like about Coverdells over 529 plans is their flexibility. So with a Coverdell, you get to choose the specific investments that you want, and you can make investment changes as often as you'd like to. Now, not surprisingly, that type of flexibility is especially appealing to people like SMI members who like to direct their own investments and make changes because they can use our strategies in their college saving plan. Now, if you're a person that's just going to invest in an index fund, you don't really need that type of flexibility, so that may not be as big a deal for those folks. Now, the main disadvantages of the Coverdell, like I mentioned, are there's an income limit on who's allowed to contribute, and you can only contribute a maximum of $2,000 a year per child. Now, if you start early, like we've been saying, $2,000 a year can definitely add up. But if you have to save quite a bit of money in a shorter period of time, that $2,000 a year limit is going to be quite a handicap.
Yeah, that's really helpful. All right. Now, the greater flexibility of investment options that you just mentioned is clearly attractive, and it's one of the features of that Coverdell, or at least for some investors. Share the details on the 529 plan.
Yeah, so the 529 plan has really become the savings vehicle of choice for most families, and that's largely because a lot of people don't have that much riding on, you know, being able to change the investments. They just want to park it in an S&P 500 index fund or something like that. And for those folks, a 529 plan is going to be a great choice. Now, the first thing you need to know about 529 plans is most of them are sponsored by individual states, but you don't have to be a resident of the state whose plan that you use. And you also don't have to go to college in the state of the plan that you use. Yeah. And what that means, Rob, is for most people, there are more than 50 of these plans sponsored by the different states, because some states actually have more than one, and you can shop among just about all of those. Now, the main thing that you want to look for, though, is some of these state plans do offer benefits, tax benefits, on the contributions for people who live in the state. So what all this means is you really want to look at your own state plan first, see if there's any kind of a tax break for contributions to your own state plan. If there is, then that's a pretty easy decision. You're probably going to want to use your own state's plan. If there isn't, then you can shop among all of the state plans for one that you like. The big advantage of the 529 plan, there's no income limit for the contributions There's no maximum contribution limit for most plans, although some of the states have set really high limits. So what that means is 529 plans are really the natural choice for higher income college savers. They do tend to be a little more one size fits all, but that can actually be a good thing for some savers because most of these plans have age-based tracks that will automatically adjust your investment allocations to be more aggressive when the child's young, less aggressive when they're older. So if you kind of want to do a hands-off thing, a 529 plan can be a really great choice. And the financial aid handling for both 529 plans and Coverdells is pretty favorable. It's a little different than with a Roth IRA, so that's something to tune into as well. I know I'm throwing a ton of detail out there here, Rob, but all of these details are in the article that people can get online.
Yeah, very good. We're going to continue to unpack these. Let's go back to the phones to Arkansas. Eric, I know you had a question about whether or not the funds would still be available if the child doesn't go to college. Share that with us.
Hey, yeah, this is Eric. So experience from my own four, only one of them finished college. I've got 10 grandkids, and if I start contributing to a fund, I'm fine with them having the money even, but what happens if they go start college and they go a year and they decide this isn't for me?
Yeah.
What happens to the money?
Great question.
Three different plans.
Sure. Mark?
Yeah, Eric, people are going to think that you're a plant because you're giving me such a perfect segue to talk about the next option, which is the Roth IRA. But before we get to that one, with a 529 plan, and with a Coverdell ESA, there are actually some protections built in there. So you're able to change the beneficiary of the plan, and you can even change it, like you mentioned, having grandkids. So you can change it between siblings, and then you can also change that from a sibling to a grandchild. So there's some flexibility there. Just recently, a provision was added that actually allows somebody with 529 money when they graduate to roll that into a Roth IRA. So they're getting more flexible over time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, the only other thing I'll mention is you can take them out on a pro rata basis for scholarships and grants. So you don't have complete flexibility, but you do have some options. Mark will talk about the Roth IRA next. Stay with us.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
In fact, there are fewer border crossings today than when Donald Trump left office.
As I've said many times on this program, Republicans can lie sometimes too.
Sure.
But
that's a whopper.
But what Biden did right there, that's kind of like shameless.
Yes.
You've let millions and millions of people in. It's in the mainstream liberal media that got so bad. And he did it in the name of stopping xenophobia.
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
Liberals are determined to fight any legislation that protects election integrity. That's why the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act has been added to a continuing resolution spending bill. The SAVE Act will make sure only American citizens can vote. States will have to remove non-citizens from their lists of voters. Please take time today to urge your representative to support the addition of the SAVE Act to any continuing resolution bill. Time is of the essence, so visit afa.net today.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Mark Biller here today from Sound Mind Investing. We're talking college savings. Before the break, Eric, who's still with us, called from Arkansas and wanted to know, how do I get money out of a 529 or a Coverdell, one of these college savings vehicles you mentioned, if my grandchild goes to college and, you know, transfers out early, decides it's not for him or her, they don't go to college, what options do I have? Mark mentioned that you can change the beneficiary on these, Eric, so you could assign it to another grandchild. You can get it out on a pro rata basis for scholarships and grants. You do have the ability now with the 529 to roll it into up to $35,000, and it's going to be over time, roll the money that the beneficiary doesn't use into a Roth IRA in the beneficiary's name, the child. That would be a great start toward a retirement savings plan. But if none of those are what you're looking for and you do take it out for non-qualified educational expenses, you will have federal income taxes on any of the earnings. You'll have a 10% penalty, and you may have a clawback if you got any state deductions or credits for 529 contributions. And Mark, that leads us then to this third option, which is investing in a Roth IRA from the very beginning, specifically for college savings. That's something a lot of folks don't consider, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not usually listed as a college savings option because Roth IRAs are designed for retirement savings. But to Eric's points, they really can be useful under certain situations for college planning. So here's the key with these. Roth contributions can be withdrawn for college expenses without any tax or penalty. So if you're 59 and a half or older, when the withdrawals happen, you can actually take out any of the earnings, tax-free, all that. But even if you're going to be younger than 59 and a half, you can plan to be able to take out the Roth contributions and leave the earnings in the account for your own retirement. Now, flexibility is the main reason why I really like this idea of using a Roth IRA, because if Junior gets a big scholarship or decides they don't want to go to college, all of that money that you've been saving all these years is already going to be in the most tax-advantaged spot for your own retirement savings. And that is trickier, like Eric's pointing out, if you've been saving in a Coverdell or a 529 plan. Now, of course, Roth IRAs do have some limits. Your income has to be below a certain threshold for you to be eligible to make Roth IRA contributions. The amount that you can contribute each year is limited, although most couples are going to be able to save $14,000 a year or more, and single parents $7,000 a year. So the last point really, Rob, here is you can also save in a Roth IRA and then kind of double up with a Coverdell or 529 plan account as well. So there are some ways to mix and match this and tailor it to your specific situation.
And just to be clear, so folks don't misunderstand, we're not talking about a Roth IRA in the child's name because they'd have to have earned income. So this is a Roth IRA in the name of the parent and spouse or grandparent and spouse, but earmarked for the kids. The challenge here, though, with Eric having 10 grandkids is, you know, he's going to be limited in what he can save, right?
Sure, that's exactly right. But if you can start early again and you're putting in, say, $14,000 or so each year between you and a spouse, that can turn into quite a college savings pot to distribute among however many kids or grandkids down the road you might be distributing for.
Yeah, very good. Eric, thanks for your call, and I understand you're a retired Marine. Thanks for your service to our country, sir. Let's go to Texas. Vinny, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. Well, we live in a fallen world, and my comment is that if you have a student who abuses your sacrifice for the money that you have given them for college, such as dropping or failing classes or other misbehavior, you might want to go to a reimbursement plan where they have to pay for the classes up front and then you reimburse. So if they make an A, you'll pay 100% of that class, a B 90%, C 80%. And if the course gets dropped or failed, that student has to pay for that class themselves. So that's my comment on being the mother of five children.
I like it. Yeah, provide a little accountability there and some reward if they do well. What are your thoughts on that, Mark?
No, I love it. And really, that kind of goes back to my comment towards the beginning of the program where I was saying, even when you're setting up expectations when the kids are young, you know, if you put in place kind of a what might sound like kind of a hard line structure or hard caps on how much you're going to contribute, and then as the kid gets older, you can see, hey, this kid is really responsible. This kid is walking with the Lord. This kid is checking all the boxes the way I want them to. Well, you always have the flexibility to adjust to that in a more lenient way, but it's really difficult to make things more stringent as you go along because they have their expectations set early. So I think that's great. You know, I think you can tailor a plan to your kids. You know them better than anybody. And so putting in some kind of accountability like that, that's beautiful.
Well, and that's going to come back to you because you're paying that on the front end for the A's, but you're going to get that back when they get, you know, those AP credits or they get that scholarship or, you know, something that is ultimately going to reduce the cost of college. So you actually may come out even though you're, you know, by incenting those good grades. But Vinny, thank you for calling today and sharing your plan with us. Mark, tie a bow on this portion of our conversation here today for college savings.
Yeah, so I think the main takeaway here, Rob, is that each of these plans has, you know, their own unique wrinkles, so it's worth taking a little time to go over them, maybe read this article and go back over these points. Whether you choose a Coverdell, a 529, or a Roth, or some combination of the three, the big idea is that time is of the essence. Don't put it off. The earlier you make a decision and get started, the more you can get compounding working for you. So that's really the big picture takeaway today.
All right, Mark, quickly pivoting here in the next 90 seconds before we need to let you go to the markets and the Fed. Obviously, the Fed said they're going to take a data-driven approach. The data, I guess, is there based on what they've been looking for, which is why economists are projecting a nearly 100% chance of a Fed cut tomorrow. What are your thoughts on that and where the market's headed from here?
Yeah, you know, always hard to say in the short term where it's headed. I'm optimistic. I really do think that this is a case where lower interest rates have the potential to kind of kickstart the big picture or big ticket items like cars, houses, big ticket items that people have been putting off financing because interest rates have been so high. So I think there is a chance that this could kind of reignite and extend this economic cycle as people are able to finance better with lower rates. So I think there's some good reason for optimism here. And as you know, Rob, that's not always my default stance. So when I'm saying I'm optimistic, that's probably a good thing. But, you know, markets are already at all-time highs. They're richly valued. So I wouldn't go crazy here thinking that everything is just going to be Goldilocks as far as the eye can see. But yeah. Overall, I think it's good news.
Speaking of Goldilocks, gold has continued to do well in the midst of all of this. That's an interesting factor, and I'd love to get your thoughts. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But, Mark, always appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate the opportunity.
Folks, if you want to read this article we've been talking about on college savings, head to soundmindinvesting.org. Soundmindinvesting.org. Back with your questions after this.
Practice makes perfect, they say. Top-level musicians and elite athletes know how important practice is, but how about for living the Christian life? God's Word helps us toe the line on this tricky question. I'm David Wolin. Join me all week on Haven Today for a series called His Purpose is Godliness.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Here in our final segment, let's turn the corner. If you have questions on anything financial, we'd love to tackle those with you. That number to call, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open, and let's open up the subject matter here to whatever's on your mind in your financial life today. You know, as we think about applying God's wisdom to our financial decisions and choices, here's what we recognize. Ultimately, it starts with our hearts. You remember Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we know that our heart follows our money into wherever we're going to allocate God's money, which just means that, well, if we're investing in ourselves, our heart's going to follow our money there. Now, that's not a bad thing. Part of God's good creation of money is for our enjoyment, but it's also to give generously. And I think it's to invest responsibly. And knowing that our heart's going to follow our money, I think just should cause us to think differently about how we care for and steward what God has entrusted to us. It also requires that we take a look at where we're spending God's money and make sure that it does truly align with what's most important to us, right? My spending, my printout, if you will, I used to say my check register, but I guess very few people use a check register anymore. Now, I'm sure there's some out there saying, wait a minute, I still use a check register. But let's say your check register or your printout of your financial account, it tells a story about what's most important to you. And here's my experience is that for most folks, that story perhaps doesn't always line up with what's truly most important to them. They might look at that and say, well, this is telling a story that's different than really what's on my heart, because what's on my heart is being able to bless and serve my family. What's on my heart is being able to be engaged in culture transformation. What's on my heart is gospel work to the ends of the earth. What's on my heart is that person with a need right down the street. And perhaps we need to make some changes in our financial life. Perhaps a financial finish line is in order to say, wait a minute, I'm not just going to continue to increase my lifestyle just because I've gotten a raise or I've gotten a series of raises or a bonus. Because remember, our level of spending will always rise to our level of income unless we protest to the contrary. And so, you know, I think we need to put ourselves in a position where just because, you know, we see something, more income available doesn't mean we need to have a corresponding increase in lifestyle spending. But that means we've got to be intentional because, that doesn't happen automatically. Our default, if you will, is to, put ourselves in a position where as more money's available, we just find more ways for that to, end up in things that, we enjoy or perhaps we've been wanting to do. And again, nothing wrong with that, but maybe it's time to say, no, I'm going to cap my lifestyle at X amount and anything the Lord provides beyond that, well, I'm going to give to his kingdom. So maybe those are some things to think about just as you think about your role as a steward in managing God's money. All right, between now and the end of the program, let's tackle your financial questions. I might have room for one more question at 800-525-7000. Let's go to Texas. Emmanuel, how can I serve you?
Good morning. Good morning. I had a question regarding just like a good operating budget for business. And so like to be real general, like if you're spending $10 on marketing, what would you expect like the percentage increase would be for to make that back? Like if I spent $10 marketing and I made $15 back, right? Just keeping numbers. So like what would be like a general number percentage wise
yeah.
you think would be, you know, reasonable for business?
Yeah. What type of business are you in, Emmanuel?
I'm in the trades. I'm an electrician.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just take a general contractor business, and I think you can apply this to anywhere. A good general markup for a contractor business is usually in the range of 15 to 20% over the cost of labor, materials, and other direct expenses. So the markup allows for you to cover your overhead costs. So we're talking about, insurance, office expenses, equipment, and generate some profit. It's, of course, based on, several factors. So, depending on the industry and the location, if you're in a high demand area or specific trades, and I would put yours in these categories. You mentioned electrical, plumbing, would be the same, where the markup might be higher than just a general contractor. I would expect an electrical contractor or a plumber to have a markup of about 25% or more, while you're in a, competitive area. Now, if there's lower demand, it obviously could be lower. You need to let the market dictate. But I would say, in your line of work, especially for smaller residential projects, it could even be 25 to 30%. And then for a large commercial or government project, it might be down at 10 or 15. But I would say, generally speaking, that 25% markup, would be pretty typical. Does that make sense?
That's very helpful. Thank you so much. I really value that perspective, and I love your show.
All right. Thanks, Emmanuel. All the best to you, my friend. God bless you. Let's head to Mississippi and welcome Cody. How can I help you?
Yes, sir. How you doing this morning?
Doing great.
Wonderful. Let's show you all the time. I just had a question about Goldbecks. I've been recently invested in them, and I see more states are joining on. I don't know. I'm sure you're familiar with them, but they're like dollar size shaped gold. And what your thoughts are on those? And is it a good idea to invest right now?
Yeah. I mean, it's a relatively new form of currency. I mean, they make these with kind of thin layers of gold and embedded in these polymer notes. And, the idea is to serve as a physical spendable currency backed by the intrinsic value of gold. So the pro is obviously, the intrinsic value. So it contains a specific amount of physical gold. So unlike fiat currency, the note itself is backed by a tangible asset. And that's, of course, appealing to a lot of folks. It's a hedge against inflation and currency devaluation. It's very portable. So, these are lightweight, durable, easy to carry, perhaps better in some cases than larger forms of physical gold. And then it, you know, this polymer backing protects the gold layer, so it kind of ensures longevity and resistance to wear. They're also very divisible, so they come in different denominations, each with a specific amount of gold content. You know, I mentioned that it's an inflation hedge. I mentioned that it's, you know, it's not tied to any government or central bank. So it's decentralized, it's private. So it's an alternative currency option. And then they just have some, you know, an intrinsic appeal because they have designed images. And so they're visually appealing to collectors. I mean, the downside would be, though, that, you know, they're limited in their acceptance. So, you know, local businesses are not, you know, widely going to accept these as legal tender. Some will, but it's not widely accepted. You may pay a premium over the spot price of gold. And that's really, when you're just buying gold, it's all about how close to the spot price can you buy it, because that premium is, you know, what you're paying on top of it that is the profit for the person selling it. Obviously, anytime we're talking gold, there's volatility in the price of gold. They're not, you know, terribly liquid like other forms of owning gold, specifically like ETFs. And then you've got the storage and the handling and so forth. So I would say at the end of the day, I wouldn't go crazy with these. You know, my typical approach is no more than 10% of your investable assets in gold, just because it tends to be more volatile and the long-term performance is not as good as a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. But I would say it's a fairly innovative and tangible way to have gold in small denominations. If that's what you're solving for, you know, it can be a very effective way to do that. Does that make sense?
It sure certainly does. And I think that that's about where my goal was about 10%. And it's fun to collect them because, you know, I see the 2019 version going three times their value in their strike price, you know, and it's just like, why? And it's just because they're collectible. So I thought it was kind of a double fun time for me.
Absolutely. Well, appreciate your call, sir, and all the best to you. Call anytime. Let's finish out today here in Texas with Richard. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi there.
I live in Texas, and what a great place to live. Anyway, it's probably the best place in the United States, and where I live, very conservative. So, at any rate, the most conservative, and that's why Trump was in our neighborhood during the last election.
Very good.
My reason for my call is I've got plenty of money tied up into Roth IRAs. I initially got involved in a regular IRA when they came out initially, and then after that, when the Roth came out, I switched everything to Roth. 80% of my funds I switched to Roth. And when did the Roth come out? 15 years ago or 20 years ago? No, 30 years ago?
Yeah, so you're talking about when did it first get introduced? Yeah, it was 97, I believe, Senator Roth.
Yeah, okay. I retired in 99. So anyway, the bottom line is I got a lot of money in there, and I'm just wondering, in view of your talks today about can I just take any of that Roth money and spend it on my grandkids' college education?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the beautiful part of the Roth is as long as it's a qualified withdrawal, which just simply means you're 59 and a half or older, and the Roth has been open for at least 5 years, then any of those Roth IRA withdrawals, including the gains, will be tax-free and penalty-free. And if you meet those two conditions, 59 and a half or older, and Roth open for at least 5 years, then you can absolutely use those for any purpose, including educational expenses. And so at that point, you'd be making a gift to the grandkids, which you can do up to $18,000 per child per year. And then beyond that, you just have to let the IRS know. Thanks for your call today, Richard. God bless you, my friend from Texas. Hey, big thanks to my team today, Sandy, Jim, and Devin. Couldn't do them without them. And we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.